lights out, and away we go.
Scott and Rick.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that.
Danny and Sunday have crashed. They've gone into each other.
I wasn't listening. No idea what you're speaking about.
This is the F1 Podcast. Two soft compounds.
Hello there, I'm Scott Hughes.
I'm Rick Horton.
And we are the two soft compounds ahead of the Hungarian Grand Prix, off the back of the British Grand Prix, of course, last week. The dust is sort of settling a little bit now with the Max and Hamilton situation. I feel like everybody involved, all the team bosses and the drivers, are all kind of looking back going, oh, was I a bit harsh what I said there? And it's all kind of settling down a little bit, isn't it? I assume Max and Hamilton will have a chat, whether they have or not already, who knows? But I assume they'll at least speak at the next circuit. But I feel like this is something that's going to rumble on a little bit. I feel like they're going to have a lot of close calls for the rest of this season now. And I think this is almost like they're putting their markers down, isn't it? Like, I'm not backing down. Well, I'm not backing down either. And it's kind of like gives us great excitement as viewers, but could produce some more crashes or some more incidents this year, I think.
Yeah, I get the impression that Hamilton has played it pretty cool in the opening part of the season, and then at Silverstone in front of the home crowd, he thought, right, gloves are off. I'm not backing off anymore. I'm not giving you room anymore. And if you want to be aggressive, then I'm going to be aggressive too. And my maturity and my experience is going to outshine yours, Max. And if you're looking for a fight, then I'm here to fight you. And I think that will be the attitude for the rest of the season. It's certainly the opinion of Nico Rosberg, who of course has been a driving partner with Hamilton in the past at Mercedes. And Jenson Button is saying that he thinks there's going to be much more feisty battles in the future, because if you remember back at Barcelona, sort of Hamilton sort of gave way to Max as he barged his way through into turn one. The same thing happened at Imola earlier in the year. So I think Hamilton's now going, right, fight is on. I'm not backing off. You're not backing off. There are going to be more crashes, I think.
Yeah, and it's been interesting as well, because I think Max this year has been incredibly mature, and he's sort of taken his racing and his whole driving just to the next level. Which has been amazing to see. But I also feel like, you know, he's been so good at that, it's almost caught Hamilton off guard. And now Hamilton's like, right, okay, well, I'm older, I'm more mature, I'm more experienced. So I'll play some mind games and see how he copes with that. And it's going to be interesting how Verstappen kind of deals with this now, because he has, like you say, he has taken the gloves off and he has fought back. Is Hamilton going to go, is Verstappen going to go, okay, cool, yeah, I can deal with this, and just crack on and become mature again and start overtaking him again and going back to like it was at the start of the season? Or is this going to give Verstappen a bit of a wobble and kind of give Hamilton the mental lead in the game, I guess?
I think 2 or 3 years ago, you would have easily said that Verstappen would be mentally wobbled by something like that. But I think now, we both agree that he has matured, and I think he'll welcome the fight, I think. I mean, I can just see, you know, this weekend in Hungary and then for the rest of the season after the summer break, I can just see turn one instance between the two of them in nearly every race, because their cars are almost equal in terms of pace. The Red Bull seems to perform slightly better in slower corners than the Mercedes, but straight line speed is almost identical with both of those cars. And I think, you know, it's always going to be a battle going into the first couple of turns for every single Grand Prix. And Hungary is a good example, because turn one's probably the only overtaking opportunity on the entire circuit. So they're going to race down to that really slow hairpin, which is turn one. And either of them, well, are they going to back off or are they going to go for it? You know, you can see it repeating itself this weekend.
I think the good thing as well, we've been waiting for this. We've been waiting for two teams to be this close and waiting for another battle of, like, you know, Prost and a Senna, and a Hamilton and a Rosberg, you know, and Nigel Mansell, and drivers like this, when you had these amazing clashes in the past. You know, we have one for the modern age now, which is great. And you've got Mr. Experience and Mr., you know, world titles versus Mr. I want a world title and I'm going to be the future of this industry. So it's great for us to watch as viewers. And like you say, they're not going to back down. This, of course, is the race where Verstappen crashed on the way to the grid, wasn't it, last year? And the team changed all the nose and did all that on the grid. And it was kind of like, oh God, are they even going to be in the race? And they obviously changed the nose and sorted all that out in unbelievable time. And he went on to do all right last year. So it can be a good race. And I'm guessing the weather's a bit, you know, because I think we're expecting quite a lot of heavy rain in the UK this weekend. So I'm hoping that it might be that way across Europe, and we might get a bit of rain to spice things up as well.
Yes, next time you talk, I'll quickly Google the weather for Hungary this weekend and see if we're in for a spicy race. I mean, Hungary as a circuit, it's not that easy to overtake on. The drivers quite like it because it's a pretty technical track. But there aren't that many overtaking points on the circuit. Towards the end of the lap, there's maybe some overtaking into, I think it's turn 15, but turn one, probably the best opportunity after the long start-finish straight. But it's going to be a challenge. And of course, this race is so important because it's ahead of the four-week summer break. So whichever driver between Hamilton and Verstappen can establish themselves, that gives them the confidence moving forward for the rest of the season.
I have just had a quick look at the weather while you were talking there. Saturday, 30 degrees, but also 60% chance of rain and thunderstorms scattered around. Sunday, the same. Scattered thunderstorms, 50% chance of rain, 55% humidity. Looks like there's not much wind and there's possibility of some thunderstorms, lots of rain possible. So that could really spice things up this weekend, actually.
Yeah, it really could. Let's look at some of the other teams that need to do well this weekend. Bottas needs to have a good drive. I keep hearing this rumour that Toto Wolff has been saying in the press in Germany that he feels responsible for Valtteri Bottas's Formula One career and wants him to have a good future. Now, when he starts talking like that, it makes me think he's made the decision to drop him at the end of this season. Would you agree?
Yeah, I've literally just seen a quote before we started recording this saying, if we decide to go with Russell in the car next year, I will help Bottas get another seat. So again, that's backing up what you just said. That to me looks like a boss feeling a bit guilty because his employee's not necessarily done anything wrong, but there's a better option coming in. And I'm surprised they didn't announce it at the British Grand Prix, if I'm honest. I think it's pretty much a done deal. And I just can't see Bottas getting another season in that car. It's been bang average this year, but he's had a couple of wobbly years, hasn't he? And when you think Rosberg at least won the title when he went up against Hamilton in one of the years, you know, Bottas has not even got close, has he really?
Yeah, George Russell in that seat would be really spicy for the fans, wouldn't it, next year, seeing Hamilton and George Russell competing, both British drivers competing in the same equipment, I think would just be fantastic. See, Fernando Alonso is turning 40 at the Hungarian Grand Prix. He's been saying that he feels like 25, and he looks as though he's just got this swagger about him when he's walking around the paddock. He looks genuinely excited and grateful to be there in the car. And his on-track results have been pretty impressive this year as well. With a car that really isn't performing at its best, he seems to get the best out of it.
Yeah, he's one of the best of all time, isn't he? As an all-rounder, he's just superb. You know, he's a great racer, a great qualifier. You know, he's got the world titles. I think, you know, right place, right time, right car, right year, we'd be looking at a 4-5-6-time world champion, I think, with Alonso. And I think the issue he had is he made the wrong choices at the wrong time. So he went to the wrong car or the wrong team at the wrong year, and he's ended up only getting the two world titles. But I think had he made better choices, and, you know, it's hindsight, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But I think if he'd made better choices, he would easily be up with the Schumacher and the Hamilton. I think he's that good. I think he's absolutely brilliant. I'd love to see him win at least one more world title, but I don't see that happening anytime soon unless the Alpine is incredible next year.
Yep, Ferrari come off the back of a second place for Charles Leclerc at the British Grand Prix going into the Hungarian weekend. We've said this before, you just never know what sort of Ferrari is going to arrive on the weekend, do you? You know, some tracks they're pretty average at. It's all to do with the tyre warm-up issues that they've been facing this year. Other tracks like Silverstone, you know, they're bang on it during qualifying and they're able to get a second place for Charles Leclerc in the race. I mean, it's a weird one, Ferrari, isn't it, this year?
Yeah, and like you say, it's weird to sort of see a lot of these cars have tyre issues, don't they? A lot of them have the problem the car has. I think the McLaren has said as well with Danny Ricciardo particularly that it's a tyre warming issue that means he's not as quick as Lando because Lando's kind of worked out how to warm the tyres up quicker than Daniel has, which is making Daniel look average. But it's amazing to me that much difference can come to the cars and to the drivers with just a tyre issue. But it does seem to be the biggest thing that the teams have to deal with. Whether that changes next year, we've got new going from 13-inch rims to 18-inch rims next year, which on a road car, everyone's like, yeah, bigger rims, the better. But in a racing car, I don't think that's necessarily the way. So it's going to be really fascinating next year with the new, you know, wheel size, the new tyres, the new cars, the new wings. You know, they look, like you said last week, very IndyCar-like, supposedly much easier to overtake. I think Verstappen said he's happy to lose 5 or 6 seconds off the speed of the car, top speed, if it means loads more racing and overtaking. So I think the drivers are looking forward to that as well.
McLaren ahead of this weekend have come together since the British Grand Prix. You know, Daniel Ricciardo finishing in fifth, Lando Norris in fourth in Silverstone. And you'd like to think that that Danny Rick has sorted out his problems with that McLaren, because he was getting so, so frustrating. And it was frustrating for us, especially in qualifying when he was, you know, almost 6 tenths off the pace of his teammate. It was just ridiculous. But hopefully he sorted that out now. He certainly demonstrated his race pace in the Silverstone Grand Prix.
Yeah, I think my question there is, has Daniel had an average season or has Lando had a phenomenal season? Because I think Lando's just driven the wheels off that McLaren. He's just shown he was a great signing. And again, he's another one of these modern day drivers. They're so confident. So, you know, so he just knows he's good. He drives the car well, but at the same time, he's not arrogant. He's not cocky. He has a laugh. He has fun. You know, these drivers mess around when they get out of the cars and they're all good mates with each other. And it's really fascinating to see. But the next breed of Formula One drivers are just absolutely incredible. And Lando, for me, has been proper standout. I think, you know, what a signing by McLaren he was.
Yeah, and, we've always mentioned that Lando's got a great sense of humour and a personality and also is a big gamer, you know. And I think the next generation of Formula One drivers are going to be these kids who've, you know, practiced on their Formula One game since the age of 4 or 5, maybe got into karting and gone through the traditional route to motorsport. Interesting that Lewis Hamilton is now spending more time in a simulator, according to Toto Wolff. He hated simulator work and never visited the factory to use the simulator. But this season, when the battle with Max has increased, he's now starting to use the simulator more and more. And Hamilton, of course, has just launched a charity called Mission 44, which is to get diversity into motorsport. So it's basically paving the way for people from ethnic minority backgrounds and disadvantaged backgrounds altogether to get a good education in terms of engineering and mechanics and motorsport and all that stuff to try and increase diversity in the sport, which can't be a bad thing at all.
Yeah, and, you know, motorsport, notoriously difficult to get into for anybody. You know, it's so expensive, particularly on the driver's side, but even mechanics and engineers and, you know, it takes such a high level of kind of skill and learning and education to get to those kind of levels of Formula One. And, you know, these are some of the most intelligent people in the world, both drivers and engineers. But yeah, so great to see. I think he's put $20 million, did I see, into that as well, which is great to get that off the ground. Like you say, that should give a lot of people a head start, which is great.
All right, ahead of the Hungarian Grand Prix, let's get the pro stats now from Nicky at Lights Out. You can follow his blogs across the race weekends and in between meetings too. Just follow at Lights Out on Twitter. Here he is with all the info ahead of this year's Hungarian Grand Prix.
As Hamilton searches to set a new record for most wins at a single track and score his 100th F1 win, there's a statistic which makes this weekend's pole position even more enticing. Here are the stats to look out for at the 2021 Hungarian Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton has had plenty of success at the Hungaroring in the past, and a good result this weekend would be particularly significant. A victory for Hamilton would see him become the first driver to reach 100 wins in Formula One. It would also be his 9th win at the Hungarian Grand Prix, making him the first driver to win at a single circuit on 9 different occasions. If Hamilton finishes the race, this will be the 250th time that he's reached the chequered flag, a figure which only 2 other drivers have reached. 250 is a number which Hamilton's team Mercedes may also be celebrating this weekend. If Hamilton or his teammate Valtteri Bottas finish on the podium, Mercedes would become the 4th team to have recorded 250 podiums in Formula One. And if a Mercedes car qualifies on the front row, it would make the 2021 Hungarian Grand Prix the 300th race in which a car using a Mercedes badged engine has qualified on the front row. Only Ferrari engines have recorded more front row starts, with 404. At the Hungarian Grand Prix, Fernando Alonso will equal Rubens Barrichello as the driver to have started the 2nd most Formula One races. This will be Alonso's 323rd Grand Prix start and the first race in which he'll be 40 years old as he celebrates his birthday on Thursday. If he were to win any race after this point, Alonso would be the first driver to win a race over the age of 40 since Nigel Mansell at the 1994 Australian Grand Prix. With Kimi Raikkonen also on the grid, this will be the first time 2 drivers racing have been over the age of 40 since the 2012 Brazilian Grand Prix, in which Michael Schumacher and Pedro de la Rosa competed. And talking of Raikkonen, this will be his 200th appearance with a Ferrari-badged engine. Lewis Hamilton is the only other driver to have made 200 starts with the same engine manufacturer. And finally, this will be the 7th race to be held on the 1st of August. It's the first race to be held on this day since the 2010 Hungarian Grand Prix. It'll also be the 125th F1 race to take place in the month of August. Interestingly, in every previous race on this date, the driver who started from pole position went on to be crowned world champion in the same season. Furthermore, a different team has won each race held so far on this day, and all six races have featured at least one driver retiring within the first two laps of the Grand Prix.
Thank you, Nicky. As you know, you can follow him across the race weekends at Lights Out as well. You can find him on Twitter. He's got some amazing blog stuff as well across the race weekends. The facts in there that blew my mind, two drivers over the age of 40. That makes you feel old, doesn't it? That's the first time in ages there's been two drivers over 40. And also, we have to talk about the sprint race as well, because they've confirmed that it's going to be Monza, isn't it, the next one? And they're now undecided whether the sprint pole will count as a pole or not. I think they've done a bit of a U-turn on that and gone, oh, actually, should that be a pole? Should that not be a pole? So that's a bit undecided as well. But I thought the idea of the sprint race weekend, I thought that the weekend itself, the way it was laid out, was really good. The sprint race itself was, it was not too bad, and it did throw a few surprises our way, but I think it could be quite a nice addition. I'm not sure I'd want it at every Grand Prix, but it would be quite nice to throw in maybe a few times a year like they're doing this year.
Yeah, three or four times a year, I think it would work brilliantly. And I think it works well at the old traditional circuits like Silverstone and Imola, where they're going to do it next for the Italian Grand Prix. It's great for the fans. You know, we said this, you can get a relatively cheap ticket to go to a Formula One race on a Friday, where normally you would just see 2 one-hour practice sessions. But now you get a practice session and the qualifying session, which is always exciting. I thought the sprint race at Silverstone was good in the fact that I was a bit worried that everyone would be really cautious and back off and stuff to protect their car and protect their place ahead of the main race on Sunday. But they didn't, you know, they were going for it, especially the likes of Fernando Alonso, who increased 4 places in the first lap of the sprint race. And obviously Max and Lewis at the front, they were really going for it, and it was really entertaining.
So this weekend, Hungary Grand Prix, I guess the questions are, is Max going to be in a good place? He's had his accident. Is he going to be nervous? You know, that was a 51G accident. So is he in the back of his mind? Is that going to be playing on his mind a bit that he could have an accident like that again? Has he got that out of his head? Has he already moved on mentally? You know, has Hamilton got into Verstappen's head, or will Verstappen just come straight back and go, right, okay, I'm back as the leader of the pack here. Watch this. I feel like Red Bull are going to be right back up there, and I feel like Max is going to do exactly that. I think he's going to get pole and go, no, hang on a minute. If you want to fight dirty, I'll fight dirty, but I'm going to win this championship this year. And I feel like Max is going to come out with that mentality personally.
You remember a few years ago when Christian Horner was locked in a war of words with Renault because their engine was unreliable and it was letting the Red Bull team down. And he just never let it go all season. He was constantly slagging them off in TV interviews and stuff. I think in terms of his attitude towards Mercedes, that will remain. So I think he'll come to this weekend as a team boss, fired up, really bitter about what happened at Silverstone, and that will run for the rest of the season. And I think that will in turn G up his drivers, Perez and Max, on circuit, because I think Christian Horner has a big influence over his drivers, probably more than most other team managers or team bosses do. And I think he's going to come here, you know, the war of words we saw after Silverstone was fairly dramatic, wasn't it? I mean, some of the quotes he was coming out with, I think he's going to keep that up. And I think that means that both teams, you know, Mercedes will be fired up because they know that Red Bull are out for revenge, if you like. So both teams are going to be really focused and really fired up for this weekend.
Yeah, and let's assume they retain Sergio Perez at Red Bull for next year and going forward. And then you have Russell in the other Mercedes. You're going to have Hamilton and Russell versus Max and Sergio Perez. You know, two incredible driver lineups. That's not just going to be a battle of two drivers. That's going to be a battle of all four, isn't it? And maybe this is what Red Bull are thinking as well, is they need to get this decision right, because if Russell is in that car next year, he's going to do a better job in theory than Bottas is doing this year. So, you know, they've to win the title again, constructor-wise, they've really got to go for it next year. So I think it's the next half of this season and next year, I'm fascinated by what's going to happen. I'm proper excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, this is, as we said, it's a big one because whichever driver between Max and Lewis comes out on top this weekend, it's going to set the pace and set the scene for the rest of the season because, of course, we've got a four-week break after this weekend and we're looking forward to seeing who prevails and comes out on top this weekend. Enjoy the race. It's going to be a good one, I think. Lots of drama associated with it already before we even get there. Let's see what happens on track between those two titans of the sport at the moment, and we'll be back next week to review the Hungarian Grand Prix.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds. Two Soft Compounds is a talk about media production. All opinions are our own.